They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God, because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down and he died there beside the Ark of God. This is a strong word, but it was a case that happened, a case that occurred out of recklessness, not only of that inexperienced young man, nor only of a king who wanted to bring the ark to the city, but also that of a father who did not take into account the consequence of what might happen. I'm going to put you a little bit in the context of the story. The ark symbolized God's presence in the midst of the people. The ark was a wooden box with a cover on top, and over that top were two cherubim, one in each side. Inside the box were three important things which reminded Jerusalem how good God had been with them, in particular the covenants that God had made with the people of Israel. One of them was the law tablets, another one was Aaron's staff that became green, and the other one was the manna, or the manna which they received in the desert. The ark for them was very important because God has said, as long as the ark is with you, my presence is going to be there with you. It will represent my presence. And in the time of a priest named Eli, the Philistines rose up to war against Israel. Israel, to feel they were okay and that they were going to win the battle, took the ark to war. They took it out of the temple and took it to the place of war. At some point, the Philistines stole the ark. From that point on, they began to say, the glory of God was penetrated. Time went by and the Philistines could not keep the ark in their land anymore, so they returned it to Israel. And this is where everything begins. When they return the ark, it arrives to a place in the city, and the inhabitants of that city, when they see the ark, they are happy, but at the same time, they wanted to see what was inside of it. So 70 of them dropped dead instantly, because God had declared and has said that no one could touch it, nor no one could look inside of the ark, because the presence of God rested there, and God was very strict about it. It was not about how many good intentions people had, because quite often when we do something out of good intentions is when we made the biggest mistakes. Because we say yes instead of saying no, just to look good and try to help. But because we did it out of our good intentions, we end up doing harm. These families, as soon as they saw that these 70 men died, decided that the ark should move from there to another place. So they took it to Abinadab's, where it stayed for 20 years. But what strikes me is that during these 20 years, the Bible never mentions that Abinadab was blessed in everything. It simply mentions that the ark rested there. Perhaps God's presence was at his house, but it did not rule over his house. And it is here where I begin to compare and say that sometimes we have been going to church, but our life continues to be the same. This simply happens when we have received God in our house, but we are still saying, "Lord, just sit there. Thank you for coming. But here in my house, it is me who is still in charge." When we want to be the ones who are in control, when we want to be the ones who are in charge at home, it is likely that we will make mistakes over and over again. The saddest thing is that we do not think that it is only us who pay for our mistakes, but our children can also receive the result of those consequences. It is important that God's presence resides in our home. It is very important. But not simply like when you win a trophy and you display it in the living room so people can see it. It is not just about God being in your house to help you and put out all the fires that at some point you have caused, or that he comes to help you pay a debt, or just because you need him to heal you. At times, we have God as an amulet. God is not an amulet. It is not about me playing Christian songs so I can do well. It is not about me starting the day praying so it will help me to have a good day. No. God is not an amulet. God is life. And since he is life, we have to live it and allow him to rule over our being. It is not about asking him, "Lord, come into my house." It is about saying to him, "Lord, rule over my life. Rule over this house." Here is where the difference is. While the ark was at Abinadab's house, everything was normal. But if you continue reading this word in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11, when the ark was at someone else's house, at a man's named Obed-Edom-Geteo, within 3 months, he was blessed. Here is the difference. In the house of Abinadab, it lasted 20 years. In the house of Obed-Edom, it lasted 3 months. What was the difference since the ark was in both houses? It is not only that God's presence is at home, but what it is the place that God occupies in our house. Here is where we need to start pondering. What is the place that God occupies in our house? What is the place that God occupies in our home? Is he ruling over it? Is he running it? This is the question we need to ask ourselves. Because if he's not ruling over our household, we are still being ruled by our own wisdom, by what our heart thinks and feels. And let me tell you that the heart of man is very deceitful and perverse. But now I want to focus on something else, and I hope you can understand me. Abinadab had 2 sons. It was written that God's ark could only be carried on the shoulders by certain people chosen to do that job, Levites set aside to carry the ark. David has sort of missed it because he brought some carts and some oxen to mount the ark on one of them and have the oxen pull it and celebrate. But orders are orders, obedience is obedience, God's statutes are statutes, and he had decreed that the only way the ark could move back and forth was by being carried on the shoulders of specific persons. But David did not do it like this. He wanted to impress. He wanted to follow the model that the Philistines had used, which brought great consequences. Now the problem was not only David's, who ignored the law, knowing the law, to do what he thought was correct. But in God, it's not about thinking or believing or supposing or interpreting the word my way. It is about doing it the correct way, the way it is written there. But what am I getting at is that Abinadab, as the father of the household, ignore the commandment, ignore the order, ignore what was written, and did not want to oppose the king. In the contrary, maybe he wanted to be in a good position with the king, or maybe he had good intentions and said, if we help the king, he will consider us in the future for a political post or something like that. He did not think, he was not wise, and sent his two sons ahead only to receive the worst. I hope you can understand me at this point regarding the responsibility we have as parents and as children as well. Here, Abinadab did not do things correctly. How many times we have known what was correct, but did not do it? Not only Abinadab ignored what God has said, but his two sons, Uzzah and Ahio, did not take a break in their lives to tell the king, to tell their father, that it was not right. How many times have we ignored doing what it is not right because we want to avoid the problem, or because we do not want our children to call us old-fashioned, or because we live in modern times and things have changed? Do you know how many parents are crying today over their children's grave? Or how many children today are in a hospital bed, not because God sent them there, but because they did not obey? The concept we have is that God is punishing me. No, this is not the way God disciplines us. It is simply the consequence of our own acts because we ignored his word. What happened with Abinadab was that he sent his sons to their dead, and the first one to fall was Uzzah. No one could be next to the ark if it were not established by God. It was a place where Uzzah did not belong. It belonged to someone else, but Uzzah had received an order from his father, and his father had received an order from the king. But when you know who you are in God and where you are going to, you prefer to please God rather than men. And Abinadab did not think about it. Simply because of a good intention and because he tried to please the king, he signed his son's death sentence. When Uzzah touches the ark, because he thinks it is going to fall off the cart and off the oxen, Uzzah drops dead. I imagine Abinadab crying over his son next to the box. But today, that you are listening to me, let it not happen to you like it happened to Abinadab. After having had the ark in his house for 20 years, someone could say, or he himself could question and say, is this my reward? That my son dies? If we put ourselves in Abinadab's position, we will feel bad and question God. Lord, I have been serving you for such a long time, for so many years, going to church for such a long time, and all I see is this or that? Or I can't move forward. On the contrary, each day I go from bad to worse. I imagine Abinadab looking up to heaven saying, and now what? I offered to keep your presence for 20 years, to keep the ark at home, and you take my son away? That is strong. What I am telling you is strong. I imagine silence will have reigned at that moment. Or often we believe in our own justice, like we do not deserve the wrong we are living. I don't deserve it, because I am good. I do this. I do good deeds. I give to charity. Or I give my tithe. I give my offering. I go to church and well behave. Why do things don't get better? It is not about doing the things that you think are good, that you perceive as good. It is about doing what it is correct. If I ignore what God has said, I can think that I am okay. And this is the way we live our life. And we manage our home the same way. How are you managing your home today? Are you ignoring what is not okay? Or are you taking a break and putting your house in order so that God's blessing may remain and He will be the one ruling over it? Father, I thank you today for your word, and I put in front of you each life who is receiving it. I hope, Lord, that you open their understanding so they can receive your word and understand it and speak to each of them according to what they need to hear. In the name of Jesus, amen. This was a translation of a devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He reminds you that God always arrives just in time. He sends you blessings.